Good morning. We'd like to welcome everybody to this morning's services. Beautiful day outside, and we look forward to our fellowship together and our lesson to come. Just a few announcements before we get started. First of all, we'd like to give a thanks to those. We had a really big crew, good crew that showed up yesterday and did a lot of work here at the building, and so we'd like to give a thank you to those individuals. We'd also like to congratulate Jacob Hodge on earning 7 merit badges at his Court of Honor of Scouts this past week. So congratulations, Jacob. He is now advanced to the rank of Star. His next rank is Life Scout and then full Eagle Scout. Good work, Jacob. That's it for our announcements. If you will join me for a prayer now. Father, we humbly bow before you, thanking you for all that you have blessed us with. We thank you for your Son, for his willingness to come here, for his sacrifice on our behalf. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity to worship you. We pray that we will be attentive, Father, that it will prepare us for this coming week, and that we will be ready for the challenges ahead, and that we will look for opportunities to serve you. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.
Strong and courageous, and do not be afraid. The Lord God goes with you each and every day. Now therefore, be strong and courageous, and do not be afraid. The Lord goes with you each and every day. Be strong and courageous, and do not be afraid. The Lord goes with you each and every day. The Lord goes before you through the trouble and strife, and he will protect you all the days of your life. He'll never fail. Be strong and courageous, and do not be afraid. The Lord goes with you each and every day. Be strong and courageous, and do not be afraid. The Lord goes with you each and every day. Shall assemble on the mountain. We shall assemble at the throne with humble hearts unto his presence. We bring an offering of song, glory and honor and dominion unto King. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We sing the song of the redeemed. To keep the conscience clean.
Okay, today's scripture is from 1 John chapter 5, verses 6 through 13. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life.
Good to see everyone here this morning. Isn't it good to be a Christian? Now, earlier this week, we were having some problems with one of the cameras. It wasn't working. And so I called Justin and told him I couldn't get it and I couldn't find the power. He told me where to look and everything. So I took the camera off and I crawled up in the crawl space by the fellowship hall and looked, and it was all plugged in. But it still wasn't getting any power, so I went back up on the ladder, unplugged everything, plugged it back in. And while I was up there, I thought, we've had some breakers turned off because of the heaters we're working on for the bathrooms, and I bet somebody flipped the wrong breaker. So I go down to the breaker box and find the breaker that's loose and flip it on, and the power's on. Problem solved. So I'll call Justin and say, the preacher has solved the problem. I'm an electrician. I'm a certified electrician. And he said, not sarcastically, sincerely, he said, you are a certified electrician. Does that make me a certified electrician? No. But certification is important to us, isn't it? You want to take your car to a certified mechanic. You want certification that the food that you're buying is a certain type, or that it's measures up. When I get phone calls and it says spam, I'm not answering that call. And a lot of times I don't want to answer other numbers, but I'm a preacher, so I don't know who's calling me, so sometimes I have to. But I like it when it says valid number. Sometimes we look for the blue check. We want to make sure it's authentic. Is what I'm looking at really authentic, or is it something, because we live in a world where there's a lot of fake stuff, and want to make sure it's certified. This morning, in the text we're looking at, not the easiest text in the world, but the point that John is making is Jesus Christ is certified. Those who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God are certified. And the eternal life that is promised to us and we have if we are believers in Jesus is certified. And he's going to use witnesses to prove his point. Last week we looked at four responsibilities that we have. And the last one we looked at was that we are to believe that Jesus is the Christ. And if we do, we overcome. Those who overcome the world are those who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And in verse 4, he talks about how do we overcome we overcome the world with our faith. All the way through 1 John, he uses the verb for faith. And in that particular verse only, in 1 John, he uses a noun. Our faith, what we believe in, it's distinctive. It's the doctrine that we believe. It's after a pattern. It's our faith. That's what we use to overcome the world. And what is it that overcomes the world? Our belief that Jesus is the Son of God. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. When the boys were little, something would happen, and Brendan would always say, primarily to Kendall, "You did that on purpose." And he would say, "No, I didn't." And he would say, "Prove it." He wanted proof. He's going to give us proof. And he's going to do that by helping us look at some specific witnesses in 1 John. In the Gospel of John, John will show them seven different witnesses about Jesus that you could trust in, count on, that gave evidence for Jesus. Here they are. Seven witnesses to the deity of Jesus in the Gospel of John. The Scriptures, John the Baptist, the disciples of Jesus, the words of Jesus, the works of Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit. So there's lots of witnesses John has already used in his gospel, but in 1 John chapter 5, he's going to pick out some specific witnesses. The water, the blood, the Spirit. And then he's going to intertwine them with the Father, and he's going to give a testimony about eternal life. In the old law, you wanted something corroborated by two or three witnesses. He's going to do that, but he's going to pick specific witnesses because of the specific problem that they have with false teachers of that day, primarily Gnosticism. And one particular type of Gnosticism was called Cerinthian. There's a guy that it's named after. And that teaching said that Jesus was just a man until the baptism of John, and then he became the Christ, and he lived out in his ministry as the Christ, but before he went to the cross, he was no longer Christ anymore, and he died on the cross just as a man. That was a false teaching because Jesus was Jesus and Christ. He was human and he was divine all the way through. And he's going to make that point to them, and he's going to use the witnesses to prove that. So this morning we're going to look at three certainties from the evidence in 1 John 5, 6 through 13 that certifies what we need to hold on to, and not only hold on to, but preach and teach and speak to other people. It needs to revive in us the desire to make sure that people we talk to know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that they know the truth about who he is. If you go out into the world today and you start interviewing people and saying, "What do you believe about Jesus?" you're going to get all kinds of different answers. Some people are going to say he's a good prophet. Some are going to say he was a good man. Some say that he was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You're going to get all kinds of feedback. None of that matters. What matters is, what does the Word of God tell us? What are the witnesses in the Word of God tell us about who Jesus is? And once we discover that, we know what we need to tell the world and how we need to represent that truth to them. It's a very important text to us. First of all, he says, Jesus, the Son of God, is certified. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not with water only, but with water and with blood. It is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is truth. So he introduces three witnesses: the water, the blood, and the Spirit. And what do those mean? You might be thinking, "I'm not sure." And sometimes we get different ideas represented for what those are. Some people will say that It was the blood and the water that came from Jesus' side in John chapter 19. I remember hearing that when I was a boy growing up. Some people will say that it's the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper. Some will say it's purification and redemption. Some will say in a symbolic or figurative sense. And some say that it is the historical events that happened when Jesus was baptized by John and the Spirit came on him and the voice came out of the cloud and said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased." And the blood represents his death, the historical event that happened. And then the Spirit, those three witnesses. And so when you begin to look at the different explanations, you have to consider the context of the passage and what John was trying to get across. Because he was trying to prove that Jesus is the Christ all the way through. And there was specific teaching at the time that would match up perfectly to one of those explanations. We know that when he was pierced in the side on the cross, that would prove that he was a man, but the teaching of the Corinthian Gnostics was that he wasn't Jesus at the time. It would just prove that he was a man. It wouldn't prove anything else. And there's some other details, and if you want to sit down and look more at them, but for the sake of the fact that this is a sermon, I'm not going to be able to go into every single detail of it, but when you look at all the explanations, the one that seems to fit the best with what was going on with the false teaching at the time is that he was talking about the historical events that took place when Jesus was baptized by John and the end of his ministry when he died on the cross. That's the blood. And we'll look at it just in a little bit more detail in just a second. And in the passage, you have what's called an historical aorist, which points to the fact that it was an historical happening, a literal thing that happened. And the Holy Spirit is going to bring that up as the New Testament is being preached and taught, and as people are writing it down, we have all that to look at, and it fits in the passage. So first of all, the water. What do we know from Matthew's teaching about that particular event that took place when Jesus was baptized? Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 says, "Then Jesus arrived at Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, 'I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' But Jesus answering said to him, 'Permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' And he permitted him. And after being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending on him as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased.'" So the Gnostic teaching would say that Christ came at baptism. They would agree with that point. John, in his text, is going to say that Jesus Christ, that he was divine and human all of the time. But at that particular event, we see John baptizing Jesus, and the Spirit says, comes on him, and a voice comes out of the cloud, and God says, "This is my Son with him I am well pleased. And this is a witness, a testimony that Jesus is the Son of God. Then he says, not only the water, but the water and with blood. And he gives it in a different order than John does in John 19. And what does the blood refer to? When Jesus goes to the cross for our sins. If you look at Hebrews chapter 1, he talks about the divinity of Jesus. If you look at Hebrews chapter 2, he talks about the redemption that we have through Jesus. And that he paid, became like us, was human and divine, went to the cross. His blood was shed for our sins. In fact, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And you think about the events of the cross, everything that happens, and then the centurion saying, surely this is the Son of God. And then he's placed in a tomb, and the tomb is open. And the holy, we read about in Romans chapter 1, verse 4, that he was declared with power to be the Son of God by the resurrection. Jesus, when he institutes the Lord's Supper, says, this is the new covenant in my blood. Jesus had to die on the cross. The false teachers in John's time were teaching that Jesus didn't die on the cross, that the Christ didn't die, just Jesus. They separated the two. John doesn't do that. He says, Jesus Christ. Puts them together. He is human and he is divine. And the historical event when Jesus was baptized and the voice said, this is my son, and when Jesus went to the cross and he said, Father, let this cup pass from me, not my will be done but yours, but he willingly laid down his life for you and I, and by his wounds we have been healed. He died for us. His blood was shed for us. And every Sunday we remember that event. Those two things are witnesses that Jesus is the Son. And then the Spirit is called up. Imagine you're in a courtroom and you get a witness and another witness, and then you have the Spirit who testifies because the Spirit is truth. In John, the Gospel of John, he's called the Spirit of Truth. And here, he's called the Spirit of Truth. And he confirms he was there when those events happened. And he confirms everything. And the three witnesses agree. Long time ago, you ever been on jury duty? I got jury duty. A lot of times they don't pick preachers. They pick me. The jury picked me to be the foreman of the jury. It was a wild case. And we ended up having a hung jury. And we had some witnesses called. And there was a couple of witnesses. I mean, we were all sitting there listening, and we could not help the character of some of these people. You just wanted to laugh, but it was a serious situation, so you couldn't, you know? So it's one of those awkward moments. And you listen to all these witnesses, and none of the witnesses really, it got confusing. Here, he says, you've got these witnesses, the water, the blood, the Spirit, and they're all in agreement. There is no doubt, no question, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is who he said he was. And if Jesus is who he said he was, he's going to do everything he said he was going to do. And we can trust that and believe that and know that. And that should cause us to have deep faith in who Jesus is, and be able to have the courage to go out into the world and say, Jesus is the Son of God. He's certified. And we have it in our scriptures. The Holy Spirit confirmed all these things, and those who preached the gospel confirmed the word. Do you want to look at the first part of in Hebrews chapter 2? The signs were to confirm the word. So those who preached and those who wrote down the scripture, the Spirit guided them, and we have the whole New Testament that gives us the record. And all three are in agreement. Jesus is the Christ. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. If we receive the testimony of people, the testimony of God is greater. For the testimony of God is this, that He has testified concerning His Son. We have God's testimony that Jesus is His Son. The three are in agreement. Now, if you have a King James or a New King James, you'll see that there's some extra words about the Father, the Word, and the Spirit, and the three are in agreement. You don't see that in a lot of other texts. It's a variant reading that was in a lot of later manuscripts, close to the up to the time when the King James Version and the Textus Receptus was translated. And it's a footnote in some of your Bibles. That doesn't change the teaching of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but it's not really a place that should be in that text. So those are some things you look at. If you got more questions about that, I'd be glad to sit down and explain it further to you if you need that. And one of the hard things about a sermon like this is there's a lot of things in it. I want to make sure I help you understand the text so that I don't want you to read it and think, oh, I wonder what that is. I want you to know what it's saying. But it's a sermon, so if you need any more information, sit down with me, please, and make sure you have all your questions answered and it's clear to you, because that's important. Because if we're convicted about the reality that Jesus is the Son of God, when our friends ask us questions and we have opportunities to share our faith with people, they need to see the conviction in us that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And I've done lots of different Bible study methods in the past. Safety chain Bible study method, open study Bible study method, the one story. I used to go with my dad when he would show people Jewel Miller film strips. But one of my favorite things is just to take the Gospel of Mark and say, this is the good news about Jesus Christ, dot, 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 and just read the Gospel of Mark with them and just let them see who Jesus is. John is saying, we've got the witnesses. We've got the evidence. Just go back. Open the scriptures with people and talk about Jesus' baptism and what God says from the cloud. And look at the cross. And look at all the things that the Spirit gives us to say to people without a shadow of doubt, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Amen, lights. Whoever believes the Son of God is certified. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and remember, that's believing is more than just accepting something is true. It means that you respond in obedience to that reality. If you hear the gospel message, then you're going to believe, you're going to repent, you're going to confess, you're going to be baptized into Christ. You're going to follow what the Scripture says. You're going to be faithful to Jesus as you follow Him wherever He leads you. And He says, the one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. It's not just external. You've taken it in. It changes you. And the one who does not believe in God has made him a liar because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given concerning His Son. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you're certified. You can have confidence that you're on the right track. John wanted his readers to know that they were the real deal, that they were true, that they were certified. If you don't believe the truth about who Jesus is, and you don't obey the truth because Jesus said it, that settles it, then you're not a believer. And you make him out to be a liar. But if you do believe, and you live like you believe, turn your back on the deceiver, living like a true believer, then you can have confidence that I'm certified. I'm right. You don't have to question. Have you ever questioned? Wondered if you were right or not? I remember as a young kid wondering, did I know what I was doing when I was baptized when I was 13? Because I made a lot of mistakes after that. Did I really understand? And I went through that period of doubt, and I had to get to a point where I understood, Russell, you're certified. You're okay. You're right with God. I struggled and struggled and struggled. And even at a point, met a guy down at the church. He and I studied and decided, you know what? I'm not sure if I knew. I felt so guilty about some things. I'm not sure. I was baptized twice for the right reasons. But I struggle with that. And now I make it a point when I study with somebody, I say, I don't want you 10 years down the road to wonder. I want you to know that when you take these steps, you are right with God and there is no question. And that's what John wanted for his people at that time, to have assurance, to have confidence, to have clarity, to have conviction, to be sure. And if you believe in the Son of God, if whoever believes is certified. Are you certified? When you look in the mirror, do you believe I am a child of God? God loves me. He's for me. I am a child of God. Or do you have doubts? Get rid of those doubts. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans chapter 10. And then he says, eternal life for the believer is certified. And the testimony is this. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. The one who has the Son has life, and the one who does not have the Son does not have the life. If you have the Son, you have life, eternal life. And remember John chapter 17, verse 3. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. If you have the Son, you have eternal life. Eternal life is not just the quantity of life forever and ever. It's not a promise you're going to get later. It's a promise you have now. It is the quality and quantity of life you have in Christ. I know that I have eternal life. The life I have in Christ, the quality of life I enjoy now, the quantity of life I'm going to enjoy later. But I have eternal life. John wanted him to have that confidence. If you have the Son, you have life. And then he says, these things I've written to you who believe in the name, who? The name of the Son of God. No one can be saved. There's no other name in heaven, Acts chapter 4, verse 12. By which you can be saved, except it's Jesus. That's the name. So that you may know, K-N-O-W, know that you have eternal life. If you walked out of the courtroom that you've just been in, and you've listened to what John has said, you've heard the witnesses, you've heard him tell you, if you believe, you have the Son of God. If you believe, you have eternal life. You should walk with confidence. There was a long time in my life where I didn't have that confidence. I struggled. When people asked the question, if Jesus came tonight, where would you spend eternity? I didn't know. And I sat on the front porch with a youth minister at camp. He took me through 1 John, and he helped me know. It changed everything about my spiritual walk. John has been building up to this point. He's talked about light, he's talked about love, and now he's talking about life. And he wants you and I to know with all assurance. I mean, what are you really sure about? If I said, what is the thing in your life that you are the most confident about? Russell's going to preach a long time. What are you most confident about? Our response should be, Jesus is the Son of God. I am a child of God. I have eternal life. You want your friends to start saying, ooh, I want to know about that. Most of the people in the world don't want to be invited to church, but if they see you with authentic faith, they want to know about that. Guess what? If you really believe that, it's going to ooze out of you, not in a bad way, in a good way. Maybe that wasn't the best word, ooze. Take it or leave it. I remember I was working for my grandfather in the ITC, Industrial Cooperative Training Program, where I went to school half a day and went to his machine shop. I was running lathes and drill press, and he had a machine shop, and he had a red door at the front. I had gotten out of my car. I went worked for him till 5 o'clock. Then I went back for sports at the school. For some reason, out of the blue, I grabbed that door. I remember it like it was yesterday. I grabbed that handle and opened the door, and all of a sudden, this doubt came in my mind. What if Jesus isn't real? What if God doesn't exist? I grew up in the church. I've been a Christian for a while. All of a sudden, that came in my head. And I talked to my dad, and I talked to the preacher, and I talked to other people. And somebody gave me a book by a guy named Ed Horton about Christian evidences. And they gave me some other books. And I started reading about apologetics and things that were evidence that would prove Jesus, there was an empty tomb. Jesus is who he said he was. And looked at all that evidence, and my faith got stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Where is your faith? Is it weak or is it strong? John is telling them, I want you to have assurance and confidence and be convicted that you are certified. He shows us the witnesses. He gives us the information in the text. Who is Jesus to you? If your best friend asks you, who is Jesus to you? What's your answer? The first things out of your mouth should be, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Amen? And when we sign people up to go to Dominica, you ought to want to get on a plane and go there so you can tell people that Jesus is the Christ. And when you get out of your car at work and you are around people, you should want to be able to tell people that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. It ought to burn inside of you and me. Whatever opportunity we have, may we live as Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, with confidence. Today, if you have come to know Jesus and it's time for you to respond in obedience and be baptized, don't wait another second as we stand and sing.
Son of God. Jesus is the Son.
Matthew chapter 26, verse 14. Judas takes 11 pieces of silver in order that he would identify Jesus to the chief priest, selling him out for 11 pieces of silver. And then in Matthew 26, 31, Jesus tells, all 12 of you are going to fall away, indicating that times are going to get really, really rough. It's going to be a bad, bad day. They have a feast of Passover when he tells them that. And Judas is told, go do what you got to do. And Peter says, no, never, never, ever do that. Jesus says, you'll deny me three times before you hear that rooster crow. Judas commits suicide. Peter repents very sorrowfully for what he had done. He repents. He becomes a leader in the church. And as we look at today, do we ever be like one of the 12 and condemn Jesus by the way we act or the way we behave or things that we do, things that we say? But there was one apostle that all 12 would deny him, and all of them did. But one of them came back really quickly, and he was at the foot of the cross. And he looked down, and he saw a group of people there. One of them was his mother. And he told Peter, John, looking down, seeing John, says, John, he's now yours. And he told her, he's now yours. Connecting them so that her life would move forward in a good way after he was gone. So as we look at our life today, we have an opportunity on the first day of every week
we think back about how we've behaved and how we've talked and how we've done the past week or the past years or the past months. It gives us a time to reflect. And as we reflect on our behavior, we also reflect on the commandment that Jesus said, we need to remember him. It's easy to forget. We forget even bad things with time. Time is a healer. But with Christ, every first day of the week, we come back and remember. That's how important his sacrifice was. So as we partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, we want to do so in a manner that is truly worthy of our behavior to him. So as we pray for the bread, let us remember that it was his body, he was the Son of God, and he was a human being, and it hurt like everything. So let us pray. Father, as we partake of the bread, it resembles and tells us that we are to remember the body that Christ had broken. We pray that we will do so in a manner that gives us strength. And we pray that you will bless those as we partake of it. Help us, Lord, to always keep Jesus foremost in our minds and to remember he is the Christ, the Son of God. He gave up for us. In the name we pray. Now let us pray again. Father, as we take of the fruit of the vine, help us to remember that it is just a symbol, but a critical symbol, that blood that came out of his body came out through the piercings. And we're to remember that it was a sacrifice that gave us eternal life with him, if we only do what he asks us to do. And we know, Father, that what he's asked us to do is not hard. It makes our life blessed. It makes our life easy. It makes our communication with others good. So we pray, Lord, that we will always remember and appreciate and be thankful for what Christ did. In his name we pray.
When upon my
If you're joining us online, we want you to know how pleased we are that you've chosen to spend this time with us this morning. Before we are dismissed, I'd like to take this opportunity now for all of us to consider and to remember how important your contribution is to doing the work of the church, the programs that have been identified, and how important it is for us to be able to continue doing those. And this is an important part of our worship, and after we close the online portion this morning, I will present the budget for Midway Church of Christ for 2022. Though for those of you that are online, if you have questions, if you would like to see that, it'll be posted in the foyer tomorrow. But if you have questions about it, you can ask either the elders or you can ask me about it. But just remember that contribution is important, and we have a box in the foyer that you can put that contribution in, or there's a slot in the window that you can put it in, and then it can also be mailed. Kendall, do you have that overhead up? Okay. But you can mail it. We can get you the address if you don't have it. Would you bow with me now as we close the online portion of the service? Our Father and our God, we're grateful to you for this day, for all the blessings that you've given us. We are especially thankful for the opportunity that we've had to come together and to spend time with you and to worship you, and pray that our worship has been acceptable. Pray, Father, now that you would bless the work that's been identified here. We would ask that you would forgive us of our sins. For it is in your Son's name we pray. Amen.